Well, we better get right into it because this is our last session and I've come loaded for bear. I have so many things that I want to share with you. Let us have a little prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, direct us in our thinking. Send thy Holy Spirit to move upon our hearts. Take away the blemish of sin in our lives as we begin this morning session. May it be that we'll have freedom because we ask in the name of Jesus that you'll rebuke the devil in our midst and we'll give you the glory and praise. In Christ's name, amen. So many distractions, so many things the devil has done to keep us from really knowing God's plan and God's will. It is amazing to me that the youth of today, as Brother Mendoza mentioned yesterday, cannot stand silence. Even when they study, they have to have their music on. Anything they do, it has to be done with this background of music. And one of the more pleasant times that I have in my life is early every morning, getting up for my personal devotions and being with the Lord in silence, waiting on Him, listening for His voice, for my directions for that day. So we are fighting a difficult, very difficult thing when the devil has caused so much excitement. One of the things that really bothers me today is that many of the liberal kind of pastors and congregations are building new churches and they're not a place of worship, particularly because they build an entirely different stage for productions and for drama and for all of those kind of things. And I think the time has come that those of us who are really sincere in wanting to worship the true God, that we let it be known that we want to. You know, I've always used the illustration that one instrument in the orchestra that's out of tune spoils the whole orchestra. Is that true? Sometimes those of us who are in the orchestra, but we're not troublemakers, and we don't want to say anything, but that one person that may be out of tune with God's true worship makes more noise and more confusion than all the rest of the church. That's not to say that we shouldn't be gentle and kind and loving with people, but that we should have our eyes fixed toward the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ. So as I begin this morning, the title for today is A New Song for Now and for Eternity. If you have your scripture, turn with me to Psalms 40. And every book I've signed that you've brought to me to sign, I always put that in there, this text, because it's my favorite text. It's a text that really, really shows to me that when we are worshiping the true God, that something very definite happens in our life. I'll read it here and you can read it too. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. Haven't we been taught that from the infancy of our religious experience? God says, wait on me and pray to me. I'll hear your cry. Verse 2. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. We heard a wonderful young man give us a testimony yesterday that God had brought out of the miry clay and out of the pit of darkness into His marvelous light. And He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And then verse 3, He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. I like that because what it's saying is that the new song that God gives us when we come out of the world is such a song with such power that when people hear it, they will begin to trust in the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Has He put a new song in your heart, in your life? Well, we do find today many people who are in darkness, who are searching. I want to read another text to you. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. There's no variableness. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and for how long? Forever. There's no variableness. You know, here's Jesus, and here's our life. And if we have moved away from Jesus, it is not Jesus that moved. It's us. And when we move away from Jesus, we get into darkness more and more and more. But Jesus is the same. The message is the same. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James 1:27. To keep unspotted from the world. That has to do with any phase of deceitfulness the devil has caused, or any counterfeit that he has produced. God says we must keep unspotted. Oh, there's so many texts. I don't have time to go through all of them, but I did want you to understand and to see. Don't be stained by this world. What a challenging thought for us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see where light and darkness cannot mix? If you love the world, then you don't love the Father. You may want to love the Father. You may claim that you love the Father. You may have all of those kind of things. You may look like it when you come to church. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. I should have given that so you could have turned to it. Well, I want to read something to you here that was given to me fairly recently, and I think it has a lot to say about our subject. In society's continuing search for entertainment, we often forget that there was nothing entertaining about the eternal deity of Christ, bathed in the glory he had with his heavenly Father before the world began. John 17:5. There was nothing entertaining about his coming into the world and taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Philippians 2:7. There was nothing entertaining about his miracles. They were performed for God's glory so that God's Son could be glorified. John 11:4. There was nothing entertaining about his lifelong struggle against temptation, for he suffered when he was tempted. Hebrews 2:18. There was nothing entertaining about his prayer life, for we are told that he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. Hebrews 5:7. There was nothing entertaining about his experience in the Garden of Gethsemane when his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Luke 22:44. There was nothing entertaining about his agonizing death on the cross when the burden of our sins forced him to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. There was nothing entertaining about his resurrection by which he was declared with power to be the Son of God. Romans 1:4. There was nothing entertaining about his ascension into heaven. There was nothing entertaining about his ascension into heaven when he was taken up to glory. 2 Timothy 3:16. There was nothing entertaining when he returns to the earth. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Revelation 1:7. And there will be nothing entertaining when all of humanity stands before him on the day of judgment, and when his judgment of the living and dead, Acts 10:42, he will pronounce the eternal destiny of every one of us. You see, the great things of Scripture, the great things God has done for us, is not entertaining, it's serious. It's life-saving. It is the very thing that salvation is made of. For Christ came that we might be saved. The gospel is not popular. It's not a popular message, for the road that leads to eternal life is narrow, and few are they that find it. In contrast, the wide road is easy and exciting, and the end thereof leads to death. Jesus himself was despised of men. He came to preach the straight truth, a truth that cuts to the core of sin and foolishness, leading us to repent and forsake sin. Do you believe that? If you believe that, say amen. Christ came that we might understand the awfulness of sin. Well, I had a mother and a father who were both very spiritual. As I mentioned before, I was brought up in a home that taught us as children to love the hymnal. And to understand what it was to be right and ready for the Sabbath hours to come. Now years had passed. My mother was in her 90s. And she had Alzheimer's. And she didn't know anybody. But she did know her children. And every time I went to see her the last few years in a nursing home, she had a beautiful smile when I walked in. But she couldn't say anything to me. She couldn't say, "I love you, son," like she used to. She couldn't even hug and kiss me like she used to. She sort of stared in the blankness of the room. The last time I went to visit my mother, the last time I got to see her, I was there by myself. And I put her in the wheelchair from her room and took her down to the dining room in between meals, and there was nobody there. But I had determined that I wanted to share some things with Mother, even though she may not comprehend it. I think God somehow will let her know that I'm talking about things of eternal value. And in the process, she sat there blankly looking at the window and no expression on her face. And I said, "Mother, I want to sing some songs to you you taught me when I was a little boy." And I started out with "Rock-a-bye Baby" on a treetop. No expression at all. Just like didn't mean a thing. Then I started to sing, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." And all of a sudden, she started to sing with me. She sang every word. And I thought, wow, this is wonderful. So I sang another hymn that she taught us as children. She sang every word. I must have sung about 6 or 7 hymns with her, and she never missed a note or a word. And all of a sudden, I realized that God had opened a little window for me to be with my mother again in some of the most beautiful things that ever happened in my life. And then I said, "Mother, I want to repeat some texts you taught me as a child. I want to let you know that they're still part of my life." So I started out with, "For God so loved the world." And she took it up and said every word. Then we went to John 14:1-3. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." She never missed a word. We repeated all the beautiful, wonderful passages that she had taught me. And when we came to the 23rd Psalm, it was particularly moving to me. "Though I walk through the shadow." Oh, I knew that my mother's life was soon to end. And I just sort of reached over and hugged her. And I told her that I loved her. And I kissed her. But the minute I stopped verses or songs, she was back into this deep sort of depression kind of thing that Alzheimer's brings. When I left that day, I thanked the Lord that I had an opportunity with my mother. Then I began to realize how it all happened. You see, there's one thing the devil can't do. He cannot take away our experience with the Lord. He cannot blot out from the memory, even in Alzheimer's, He cannot blot out the memory of Scripture and sacred song. So all of us that have learned some verses and songs by heart, the devil will never be able to take out of us. It's there, it's embedded, and it'll be there through eternity. Isn't it wonderful what God has done? Isn't it wonderful what Scripture has done? Isn't it wonderful what music has done? I praise His name for that. I want to share a few things with you this morning. Some of you are grandparents, some of you are new parents, some of you may be parents one day. My wife and I started a family back when we were still in college. We sort of went against our parents' desire. They wanted us to get our education before we married. But we had been going together 3 years, and we knew that God had put us together. And so we went to our parents and said, you know, we just think in my junior year in college that we need to get married. And they sort of begrudgingly blessed us, you know, how parents are. They know better than we do, of course. And we got married, but we did make one promise to each other. And that is that we wouldn't start a family until after we got out of college. Now, I didn't know much about marriage. I'd never been there before. And my wife didn't know much about marriage either. In fact, it wasn't more than 6 months after we were married that she said to me one morning, I think I am. And I said, you can't be. Because we made an agreement that we would not have any children until after college. And she said, but I really think I am. I said, you know, I think a lot of women when they're married think they are every month. So I said, let's not get excited until we go see the doctor. And we went to see the doctor and he said, you are. It began to change my whole life, you know. So I put my hand on her tummy and I said, Lord, we don't know what it is. In those days you didn't know whether it was a boy or girl. And will you please bless this new child that's going to be ours, that it may grow to learn to love and serve you in a special way. Well, I'd like to tell you the story of going to the hospital, that first one. But I don't have time this morning. But I'd like to tell you that we had great, ambitious thoughts for our children as they were born. We were determined to be the kind of mom and dad that would be available to them in any of their problems, and that they would learn to know Jesus. That was our first and most important thing, that they grow up knowing who Jesus is. Well, you know, we have lots of things that we expect out of our children, and as our children began to grow, it was really neat to hear them sing little songs about Jesus, to hear them pray for the first time, to see them go to Sabbath school on 13th Sabbath and repeat all the memory verses for that quarter? How long has it been since you've seen that? Why, when I was growing up, every 13th Sabbath, all the children in Sabbath school got up in front of the church and repeated all the memory verses for that quarter. And then as they grew and they began to understand more things, it was pleasing to see them, you know, speak for Jesus. But then it was our second child. Our first one was a boy, our second one was a girl, and our third one was Gary, that some of you know. It was in the senior year, it was in the junior year of academy, that we got that terrible, disturbing call from the principal of the academy. And he said, "You better come and get your daughter, because she is not wanting to follow the rules of the academy." Devastating day for my wife and I. Devastating time for us to see that all of a sudden those big dreams that we had, that all three of our children would grow up to serve Him, all of a sudden there was a blight. Something I can't really discuss because I can't say it verbally. The hurt that was in our hearts and the love to try to help her understand. Well, as years passed, she finished academy at another place. We sent her to another academy. And then she went to college. But her life was not in tune with Jesus. She never finished college. She left. Left home. She always kept in touch with us, but she let us know that she wasn't interested in spiritual things anymore. And all of those beautiful little songs that her sweet little soprano voice as a child would sing about Jesus, all of a sudden, it awakened in my heart. What has happened? And I realized that God has given all of us the power of choice. And her choices were not to remain in the church. In fact, she wanted to be a long ways from us. She didn't want us to know anything she was doing. Even where she was living at times, we had no idea, or who with. So it caused us to go to our knees and to Scripture and Spirit of Prophecy to find some encouragement about our daughter. And those wonderful times as a family we would sing together, and she would say, "I want to sing this song." And, you know, all those memories come back to you when something like this happens. And it sort of caused me to want to study more about the music of God, because she admitted to me sometime later that the music she allowed in her life was one of the strong things that took her from the church. So you see, what I've been speaking about this week, my wife and I have been troubled about in our own family. We searched and we found in Scripture, Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. You remember the text that there was weeping in Ramah, remember? as Rachel weeping for her children, for they had left. They're not there anymore. But God came and said to her, refrain thine eyes from weeping, for your children shall return to the border. Now it has a larger part too, in that the children that were in the army, in the service, some had to depart from home. But it also has the significance of the family itself. And God said, refrain from weeping. That was one of the first things that we found. If you have a child that's struggling with music and with a church, here are a few precious statements that we found in the spirit of prophecy. And if you have a pen, you may want to write them down for your own edification. By the way, if you email me, I'll send you the list. If for some reason you can't do it this morning. Messages to Young People, page 334. Satan is the tempter of our children, and he is running a course through their lives of sin and disobedience. And if he is permitted, he will take the life of our children while they are yet in their sins, in order to cut them off from all hope of salvation. So we know who it is that caused our daughter to stray from Jesus. It is Satan who tempts us. I want to say this morning that one of the biggest ways that Satan takes this temptation to the hearts of our children is through music. Music allows them to have a lax feeling about life. And then he takes them into all of these other corners of darkness, such as drugs and all of those kind of things. And our daughter mentioned to us once, when we went to see her some years after she had left home, she said, you know, I remember at home when you and Mom would sit at the table with us three children, and you would tell us about all of the things the devil wants to do to trip us up. And you'd talk to us about music. You'd talk to us about drugs and sexuality out of God's plan. You just went down through all of them. And she said, the boys got up from the table and never turned their foot toward those things. But I got up and put my both feet in the box of those things you were telling us. I had to find out what the world was like. See, that's why I'm here today. That's why I'm where I am. Now, this particular statement I just read to you is one of the most encouraging ones we've found. Because I want to read a portion of it back to you and tell you where that is found in this statement. Satan is the tempter of our children, and he is running a course through their lives of sin and disobedience. And then, if he is permitted, oh, what a beautiful thought. You see, we still worship the great power of the universe. His power is greater than the devil's. And he says to us, I will hold back the winds. I will protect your daughter, your son, while they're in the world, if you pray earnestly. And I want to tell you, we've prayed earnestly, very earnestly, that God would bless her and protect her when she's out there fooling around with the devices of evil. So, the first thing is, parents, if we find a child who is rebellious about spiritual things, is to pray. I used to think the best thing to do was get her address and send her the Review and Herald, Signs of the Times, and all of those kind of things. But I soon discovered that they went in the circular file as soon as they got there, because it reminded them of something that they're trying to forget. I was asked once, when I was going to speak in a large city at a youth congress, a mother in the church where we live came to me and said, "I have a daughter in that city. She's not in the church anymore. She's in the world, and she's into all kinds of things. Would you go and see my daughter?" I said, "Well, do you think she would want me to come to see her?" She said, "No, she won't. And by all means, don't tell her that I sent you." Now let me ask you a question. Is that a good atmosphere for me to go into? But I went anyway. I felt an obligation to this dear mother, and I knocked on the door, and this young lady came, and the screen door, she didn't open it. She said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Well, my name is John Thurber, and I'm a pastor that loves young people." She said, "Did my mother send you here?" Now let me ask you a question. What would you say? I couldn't lie. So I simply said, "Your mother loves you. Her heart is yearning for you to come back to Jesus." She looked at me and she said, "Tell her to go fly a kite." And she slammed the door in my face. You see, we're not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can convict a heart to Jesus Christ. Oh yes, we can say a word in season, especially in those that are having difficult times. So we learned that perhaps the best thing is not to send people to her all the time and send periodicals. And even today, when Patsy and I were standing at the table of these cassettes that are being copied for these meetings, she said, "Do you think I should send this one to Sherry?" You see, the heart is so full. The heart is so interested in seeing our children into the kingdom that every little thing we see that might encourage her, we want to send it to her right away. Well, when Elder Richards was in evangelism, the founder of the Voice of Prophecy, I worked with him many years, as you know. He told us a story about the Johnson brothers. Mr. Johnson was a doctor, and his two boys that he had followed him and being doctors also. And they had a very successful practice, and they both left the church. They both left the church. And Dr. Johnson got very dismayed, and his wife, they didn't know what to do. And one day there was a knock on the door. And she opened the door, Mrs. Johnson, and there at the door was Ellen White. She was so surprised that Ellen White came to their home. And she said, "Will you come in?" She said, "I have just a few minutes." They went in to the living room and sat, and Ellen White said to Mrs. Johnson, "I've come to tell you that I have been shown that your boys will be in the kingdom." Wouldn't you love to have Ellen White come by your home? Well, they accepted that as truth. She said to the mother, Mrs. Johnson, "But you have only one thing to do, and that's pray for your boys and their families." You know, both of them went to their grave without either one of them making any turn to the church. What do you suppose when the resurrection morning comes that the Johnsons will be looking for? They died in the hope and the faith that someday their boys may come back. It wasn't too long after the death that the oldest one had some physical problems that he couldn't handle himself as a doctor. And then he saw in the newspaper an ad of an evangelist coming to town, and he said to his wife, who had never been in an Adventist church, or his children, "I want to go and hear this man because he is going to talk about the things my dad and mother taught me when I was a child. And I want to review them in my own life." And they went. At the end of that series, the whole family was baptized. Then he got to thinking about his brother who lived many hundreds of miles away. And he called his brother and he said, "Hey, I hear that there's a young evangelist coming to your town. And why don't you go and hear him? Because you see, I learned recently that the things that Mom and Dad taught me are really the truth." And he gathered up his family, and they went. And his whole family was baptized. I know it's a true story because Elder Richards baptized them himself. So, when we're thinking about people that are running in the world of music or dancing or all of these kind of things, the devil has to destroy them, remember that God still loves them. Christ Object Lessons, page 118. Hearts that have been the battleground of the conflict with Satan and that have been rescued by the power of love are more precious to the Redeemer than are those who have never fallen. Isn't that a powerful statement? You know what that says to me? Jesus loves my daughter even more than me. And if she'll come back to Him, she'll understand the depth of the love that Jesus has for her. Education, page 306. Parents and teachers lie down in their last sleep, their life work seeming to have been wrought in vain. They know not that their faithfulness has unsealed springs of blessings that can never cease to flow. Only by faith they see the children they have trained become a dedication and an inspiration to their fellow men. And the influence repeats itself a thousandfold. In other words, my dear people, if you have taught your children, if you have planted the seeds, there will be a day that they will spring up and Christ will be seen again in their lives. I have occasion to think that sometimes we pass by our youth quickly. When we see them in our church and they're not really very spiritual, we kind of have what we call the gossip phone. We get on the telephone and we say, "Do you know what so-and-so's daughter did today? Or her son?" When actually, in reality, we should be calling one another and say, "Oh, let's pray for so-and-so's daughter or son. They're having a struggle with sin, with the devil, with music. They're having a terrible struggle. Let's pray for them." Gospel Workers 208. "Often those whom we pass by with indifference, because we judge them from outward appearance, have in them the best materials for workers and will repay all the efforts bestowed on them." So when you look at a young person, or a young adult even, or anyone that's struggling, remember, that may be the very one that has the greatest gift when he's given to Christ to do a great work for Him. I often think that the General Conference is full of those kind of boys and girls. Has struggled, but God brought them back. And through His power, have used them. Here's one that I keep in my Bible all the time. All of these are special to me, but this is my favorite. It's found in Christ Object Lessons, page 202. Listen to this. "The love of God still yearns over the one who has chosen to separate from Him, and He sets in operation influences to bring him back to the Father's house." Isn't that beautiful? Let me read it again to you. "The love of God still yearns over the one who has chosen to separate from Him." I could put in there my daughter's name. "The love of God still yearns over Sherry, who has chosen to separate from Him. And He sets in operation influences to bring him back to the Father's house." Yes, it's God, it's the Holy Spirit that changes the heart. There's one thing about this particular quotation that's important for us to understand. Just like the Johnsons who died before either boy came to the Lord again, it may happen to us with our children. But you see, our timing is different than God's timing. He knows the best timing. And He says He will send influences when the time is right to bring them back to the Father's house. You see, we are too impatient. I've visited with parents whose children have gone off in the world of rock music. And they say, "We've given up." Never give up on our young people. Because God's timing knows best. "I've been praying for this boy for years, and he's even worse than he was when I started praying." I hear these kind of things all the time. Instead of saying, "Hey, God is so interested in my boy or my girl that He says He's going to send influences at the right time to bring them back to the Father's house." Of course, there is the one realization that we must understand, and that is that there are some, even though God sends influences again, that will still reject Him. But I have the faith to believe that when God sends His Spirit to my child, that she'll respond. If she doesn't choose to respond, then in eternity, Jesus Himself will show me why, and I will be satisfied. We must understand that the great gift that God gave all of us is the power of choice. Well, I wanted to share that with you because I wanted you to know that the things I've been talking about, my wife and I have been suffering with for many, many years. My daughter's in her mid-40s now. Still hasn't come back to the church. She has made some baby steps toward it. She did say once to us, "Don't forget, us erring children usually return to the faith of our fathers." That's encouraging. I remember once when our children were pretty up in age. Our oldest one was almost 20 and our daughter was about 17 and a half and our youngest one was about 16. And I had a call to come up here to Michigan for a youth congress to speak. And then on the way home to stop at Mount Vernon Academy to have the week of prayer. And I said to my wife, "Why don't you go with me?" She said, "I can't leave the children." Well, is that being overprotective? She said, "No, I just couldn't. I wouldn't feel right leaving the children." So I did a naughty thing. At supper, I said to the children, "I've got to go to Michigan and Ohio for some meetings. Don't you think Mother should go with me?" And all of them piped right up and said, "Yes, indeed. We can take care of ourselves. Sherry can cook and we'll try to eat it. And we'll be all right. Mother, go with Dad." So reluctantly, she said yes. We came to Michigan and we had some wonderful meetings. Then we had Sunday off because I started on Monday at the academy in Ohio. We got down to Toledo and I said to my wife, "We're going to have our honeymoon now. We've never had a honeymoon." I said, "I'm going to get the best motel I can see and we're going to celebrate our marriage beginning, even though we have three children already that are pretty well grown." So I saw a big sign that said, "Howard Johnson's Motel." In those days, that was a really fancy one because you could turn everything off from the bed, you know, if you left the light on in the bathroom or wherever. Or even the television, you can all, you know, it's just really a tremendous, wonderful thing, I thought. So we got in this motel, and I said, "I want to take you to a special dinner tonight." I said, "What kind of food would you like?" She said, "I'd like some Chinese food." So we picked out a restaurant and called them, and it was too early for dinner. And she said to me, "Why don't you go to the phone and call home and see how the kids are doing?" I said, "Before dinner?" She said, "Yes." So I reluctantly went over the phone and I picked it up and I called home and Gary answered. I said, "Gary, this is Dad and Mom and we're on our way to Ohio for the week of prayer." I said, "How are things going?" "Oh," he said, "we're doing fine." He said, "You should see the house." And I thought, boy, I wonder. I wonder how many things he stumbled over to get to the phone. But he says, we're eating Cherry's cooking and we're doing fine. And we hope you're having a good time. I said, we are. He said, well, you know, Mick, our oldest one, he said if you call in, that he wanted to talk to you. He wanted to ask you something. So I gave him the number of the motel, and I said, have him call. We'll be here for another hour and a half anyway. And he said, oh, he should be home very soon. And the phone rang in about 30 minutes, and I got up, knowing it was Mick. I said, hey, bud, how you doing? But on the other end of the line, it was total disaster. It wasn't Mick, it was Gary. And he was crying so hard, weeping so hard. I said, well, I just talked to you a few minutes ago. What is it? He said, the police just called and Mick's been killed in an auto accident. And they want Sherry and I to come down and identify the body. And of course, Mother could read between the lines of my talking. And she started to weep, sitting on the edge of the bed. And I said, where's Sherry? He said, she's run out in the neighborhood to find somebody to help us because we don't know just how to do this. And while I was still talking to Gary, Sherry came in. And one of the men in the neighborhood, she had found, and he got to the phone and he said, Mr. Thurber, this is the worst disaster I've ever seen. And he said, I will stay with your children till you can get home. That was wonderful that a man would be willing to do that. We put the phone down on the hook and we both sat on the edge of the bed and we wept together. We put our arms around each other and said, you know, we had such big hopes for Mick. We hoped someday he'd be in God's work. We hoped that someday he would serve the Lord. And now it's all gone. And when I was home and we left home, he was standing on the porch. I didn't go up and hug him and tell him that I loved him. And now it's too late. She said, get me an airplane. I'm going home. First plane I can get. I should never have left home. And then she began to feel very guilty. So I got on the phone and tried to find an airplane. And finally the operator of the motel broke in and she said, would you take a call from home? I said, oh, absolutely. And so she put it through. I thought, now the kids just need some comfort. But it wasn't Gary, it wasn't Sherry, it was Mick. He said, Dad, what's going on around here? I came home and walked in the house and Sherry fainted. And she said, Gary is so hysterical, I can't even talk to him. I said, Mick, you're dead. He said, no, Dad, I'm not dead. I'm alive. I put the phone down on the desk and I praised the Lord and said, my boy that was once dead is now alive. Thank you, dear Father. And my wife heard it sitting on the bed and she began to shout for joy. You know, when the resurrection morning comes, we're told that we're going to shout for joy. I plan to shout for joy when Jesus comes. We had a little feeling of that. And then we didn't feel like going out to eat. We just stayed in the motel and finally we went to bed about 11 o'clock. About 12 o'clock, I said to my wife, are you asleep? She said, no. About 1 o'clock, I said, honey, are you asleep? No. 2 o'clock. Are you asleep? No. I said, get up and call home and talk to all the children. And she did at 2 in the morning. Guess what? The kids weren't asleep either. They wanted to hear Mother's voice. Mother's voice, the greatest power on earth outside of God Himself. And when they all heard each other's voices, the Thurber family went to sleep. I often wondered why God gave us that experience. I think I know. Because He told us in this experience how important our children really are to us. And He told us what it's going to be like in the resurrection morning when Jesus comes and the family is put together again. I want you to know that we have decided that we want all of the children there. If there's any possible way that our daughter will come home to the Lord. We want to hear all the voices on the resurrection morning. We want to sing to the Lamb a praise song just from our little family for what He has done for us. Yes? We live in a world of sin. Terrible things happen to all of our families in one way or another. But God is still in charge. If you have been hit by some of this in your family, remember that Jesus says that He still loves the ones that have separated from Him. And He will send influences to bring them back to the Father's house. I just wanted to make a little appeal this morning because it may be that some of you this morning are still struggling with music too, or with things of the world. Whatever it is, today you can leave this auditorium a different person with victory through Jesus Christ. Then I thought maybe we would close this session. If some of you have relatives that have been separated from the church and separated from Christ and are wandering in the world and made music or sex or drugs their idol, and you wish they could be here this morning sitting with you, I'm just wondering if there is anybody here this morning that would like to offer a little prayer to the Lord and say, please, Father, send influences to my loved one to bring them back to the Father's house. If you have that heart and that desire and you know someone that you pray for often, I wonder, would it be asking too much if you want to make a prayer, a silent prayer, we'll all have a time to do that want to. Would you just like to quietly make your way up here with me? We'll be a family together. As a family, we'll come and plead with our Lord and appeal to Him in respect to our loved ones and maybe even ourselves. So come on if you want to. Don't come unless you really want to, because this is a sincere prayer we're going to pray this morning, that God will heal us, our families, our children. Crowd right in. Come right on up. A family is close, so you don't have to stand 3 feet from each other. Just be real close and praise the Lord. You know, He knows right now. Every one of you that's coming forward, He knows what your prayer need is. Already He's saying, I just wanted you to come. and share with me, because your heart of love makes my heart of love want to respond even more. I told you I'd sing a song, didn't I? Well, after we finish, if there's two or three that'd like to stay, I'll sing a song. Try to sing a song. But right now, let's put our heart toward those. It may be some family, maybe you're the only Adventist in your family, and you have a deep longing. It may be somebody that has almost totally ruined their life. Whatever it is, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give a time for silent prayer. And each one of you lift the names of your loved ones that you want to see give up these idols in the world and come back to the Father's house. Heavenly Father, we come in faith that you will take our needs, our loved ones, and you will listen to everyone that prays. We don't understand. We don't have comprehension of how each one of us here can pray at the same time and you not miss a word and you not miss a name. But we do know, you know, the number of hairs on our head, and you love us so much that you died for us. So just now, as we go into a short session of prayer, silent prayer, I pray you'll hear each one. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Our hearts are thrilled to know that your Holy Spirit is right here with us and that you have heard our requests. I do pray that each one of us will be patient and understanding and let you, in your own timing, as you have promised to do, go to those that we loved and have presented to your altar this morning to bring them back to the Father's house. We'll give you all the glory and praise, and we'll rejoice throughout eternity for your love for us and our families. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing with me, will you? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy grace, salvation, so rich and free. Do you know that His presence is here this morning? Do you feel it in your own heart? The softness, the joy that comes knowing that Jesus is with us. I want you to know that the reverence that we have right now with each other and for our God is pleasing in His sight. Somehow, sometimes when you know the presence of the Lord is with you, you just don't even want to leave it because it has such a drawing power. in each one of our hearts. So, I would say, if you want to leave, just leave in quietness and in reverence. And have this moment in your heart as long as you can. Then if there's a few that want to stay, I will try to sing a song, but I'm sorry I don't have the voice I used to have, but the message is still important. So may God bless you, may He go with you. May your hearts be gladdened because Jesus wants your children, your family, together. God bless you, and you're dismissed, except I will sing a song if you want. I have chosen to sing a hymn because I feel that the hymns we enjoy come from a heart that knows Jesus. And this hymn has been very precious to me for years, and I'm not sure I hear it sung very much in church. Maybe it's because it's not that familiar. I don't know, but the words are beautiful. And I'm just going to sing two stanzas. But I want to read the beginning of the first stanza. My faith has found a resting place, not in man's made creed. I trust the ever-living one that He for me will plead. That's what we've done this morning, is to plead to Jesus that He will give us the faith, not in man's creed, but in the living Word Himself. Where is my lady that was going to play for me? Is she here? Okay. It's 4:23 in the hymnal. I don't know if there's I think there's another hymnal there on the piano. Is that My Faith Has Found? Okay. My faith has found a resting place, not in a man-made creed. I trust the ever-living One that He for me will plead. I need no other evidence, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. My soul is resting on the Word, the living Word of God. Salvation in my Savior's name, salvation. salvation through His blood. I need no other evidence. I need no other plead. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. May God bless each one of you. The kingdom is soon to come. Yes. Oh my, bless your heart. If you'll forgive me, my voice is not very good, and it's hard for me to... You know, when you get older, your breath is shorter, and your vibrato begins to find some other place to go. But thank you anyway for that kindness. Won't it be great to sing with Jesus? God bless each one of you. I'll see you in the kingdom.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2002, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes by this speaker, or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Other cassettes may also be ordered from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, and we accept MasterCard, Visa, and Discover credit cards. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 27 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.